There have been a lot of kids who have come through the program over the years, found their voice, and have gone on to use that voice in really creative ways. But none of that would have been possible without the adults supporting our program. From parents, staff, and founders, we've collected memories from supporters over the years.
Did a lot of teaching with the program and developing the program with Stacy Stein when she was the manager.
This is Steve Skinner, who has had an on and off relationship with KD&K as its station manager for the past 30 years. But he was never on the sidelines of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. He advocated for its airtime, taught its students, and even served on the board.
Can you describe what it means to be a community access radio station?
To me, it means that access triumphs programming. Access triumphs listenership. Every kind of person you can possibly put in there, you should give them a voice. And that means a lot of diversity, a lot of channel-changing moments on the radio. And when I was managing KD&K and still working with Andy Zanka, there was definitely resistance from some in KD&K to providing Andy Zanka with all that access. In primetime, NPR member station, kids speaking Spanish in primetime, 12-year-olds giggling. It was definitely a challenge.
What skills do you believe radio provides for young people?
For some kids, it can really make a huge difference in their lives. They gain that confidence that comes from being creative and having people listen to them. And again, you'll hear the testimonials of the kids saying, you know, I love having people listen to me. And so it's the perfect name for the program because it's all about empowering. And so many of the kids that have come through the program are stunning humans. And they learn those great technical skills, editing skills, creativity skills, conversation skills, interview skills, being open and getting feedback from their community and participating in their community in a really meaningful and unique way.
A big part of my job during this interviewing process was trying to capture our supporters explaining why the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program is so powerful. But Steve thought I was asking him questions that were very self-explanatory. Regardless, he still humored me.
You talk about radio being this outlet for creativity or a creative medium. And why do you say that? Why is it creative?
These are softball questions. When I train people, and I think this carries on right now with your program, is I want to meet people where they are, but I also want to give them potential to be the best in the business. The audio canvas is the same, whether you're in New York City or Newcastle. The potential for quality on the audio canvas is within reach with the equipment and expertise that you have available at KD&K. You can take it as a volunteer yourself at KD&K if you want to be a journalist. You can hound those people in the newsroom. You can learn production. You can learn the computers. You can go out there with the field recorders. You can do remote broadcasting. There's nothing you can't do at KD&K that you can do at WNYC.
And Steve was actually the first person to put Andy Zanka himself on the radio waves.
He came up the stairs in 1986. We were upstairs in the Dinkle building, and he just wanted to help. He wanted to hang out. And so, of course, I let him help me take out the trash and vacuum the station. But he also went on the radio with his best buddy, Cody Swidler. They went to school in Carbondale, and they would give the lunch report what they were serving for lunch. And they would play records and carts and things. And it was a beautiful place for Andy to be because he kind of reminded me of, he looked just like me when I was a little kid, for one thing. And he didn't feel like he fit in, but he fit in better than you could ever think. Community radio is the perfect place, and Andy Zanka in particular, for someone who feels like they don't fit in because you take them seriously. You give him a chance to fit in. So Andy transformed his life. And even though he did commit suicide in his 20s, in his 8s and 9s, when I got to know him and he hung around the station a lot after I left, it really gave him a sanctuary for him to just be talk to the world as Andy Zanka.
Let's just start with, how have you been involved with the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program so far?
You know, my most engagement has come through working with the Andy Zanka Youth News Team.
You probably recognize this voice as Raleigh Burley, who has been a KDNK news reporter for the past 5 years. Raleigh has such a classic, soothing radio voice, and you can immediately hear me drop an octave or two because of his calming presence.
I think, like, engaging youth about news collecting and interviewing at the same time that I myself was learning so much about it. And a good part of the process for me and my learning, and so fun to collaborate on projects with them and talk about what news means.
What news means? What did they come up with?
We had some fun assignments that, you know, there was a lot of talk. It was 2016, and so the term fake news was trending, and we just turned it into an activity early in the class to make our own fake news stories.
Like what? What did they fake cover?
Well, did you hear that Trump's building a tower in Cypress Park?
I'd love to know about students who you've seen show a lot of growth through either the news program or the Andy Zanka program in general.
When I think about your question, all the kids that come to mind were already really strong in their own way, but I think that over time they developed their confidence and their strength, and that's really what stands out. So, you know, Laura, Quinn, and Ricardo, this person was particularly shy and yet extremely thoughtful and provocative, and his interview with his sister was one of the best that we captured in the whole semester as a news team.
I've heard you say a few times now that ASIUP is your favorite nonprofit in the Valley, and I'd like to know why.
I love KDNK, and I love the family. And I think that we live in a culture where there's a lot of segregation based on age. I think being in the presence of people both older and younger makes us more responsible, and I would say that what makes KDNK really unique, as far as I've experienced of community radios around the world, is that we have this youth component where we have young people in and around the building and engaging with their own perspective, their own voice. And I think it makes us all more accountable to that generation and to our own responsibilities, the way we carry ourselves. I think that ASIUP is just doing so much. I think the youth empowerment program, that combination of words, carries a lot of significance. And it's a time when our youth should feel empowered.
And I briefly want to play a clip from an alumni that you heard from earlier, Tony Mendez. When I asked him what DJs on KDNK he loved listening to the most, he said Raleigh Burley.
Since he joined the KDNK team, I've really enjoyed listening to him on the radio, especially because he speaks Spanish. and it's so cool when either he's translating or he's actually fully speaking in Spanish. Knowing him and knowing how hard it can be to learn a second language, like with his ability and his pizzazz to just go out and do it on the radio, I think it's really neat.
I am Mark Wolf. I was a DJ at KDNK for quite a number of years. I'm Andy Zinka's brother-in-law. I married Andy's sister, Anne Marie, and she started ASIUP after Andy's untimely death as a young man. So Andy and I kind of, you know, became acquainted with each other and became friends back in really early 90s. Andy hung around KDNK a lot. He was always very welcome at the station, and I remember lots of DJs and the KDNK staff at the time, you know, kind of taking Andy under their wings. You know, he really liked being at the radio station.
Mark is not only Andy's brother-in-law, but he's also the father of two ASIUP students, Megan and Lily Weber. And he just beams when he talks about their time at the station.
So I have two daughters, you know, one, Megan is one, she's the older one, and she's now 22, and Lily is my younger daughter, and Megan's younger sister, and Lily is now 17, senior in high school. Fishing was a very familiar place to them, too. You know, I think they had a bit of pride knowing that they're, you know, also Zankas.
Mark, Anne-Marie, Megan, and Lily still visit a crabapple tree that was planted in Carbondale soon after Andy died. Although the plaque's sandstone lettering has faded, the meaning of that place still shines through.
You know, on Main Street in Carbondale, there is a crabapple tree that was donated to us that, along with the town of Carbondale, we planted in that little park-like area as a memorial for Andy. And there is a plaque in the ground there that was a little memorial to Andy. And not a lot of people know about it because the plaque gets overgrown with grass and all the wording has faded away because it's sandstone. But I think for all of us, it's a memorial that we loved Andy very dearly. He was a great kid. That was kind of put there, feel like Andy still has a place in town that was his home. Now, I think the picnic table and the tree with the ribbons at the base of three poles, I want that to be a memorial for all the kids that have come along through the As Yet program since Andy, kind of take it on as their own. Here's a physical reminder of this program and Andy's life. Your voices are heard and your voices are appreciated.
Mindy Cabe. I first got involved with As Yep when my son went with a friend to do a DJ session, went on to do the DJ training and be an As Yep DJ for probably 5 years. I also am the president of the board for As Yep. I love the organization. I love what it brings to kids. It really feeds my soul to be involved with it in any way I can. I'm going to draw upon my parent hat here and talk about my son for a bit. When he started with the program, I want to say he was 13, and he has throughout his life battled a speech problem, differentiation, and so was maybe not as confident as others in public speaking. And through the program and being on the radio, I saw him develop such confidence in himself and his ability to use his own talents to describe what he was trying to say rather than be stressed about how that might be heard by the audience.
What is so magical about the studio that it's able to do that for kids?
For my son, the pathway was just a completely new experience in music, and it's not what their parents are listening to or their friends are listening to, but they get to program their own radio show, and they get to decide what music is speaking for them. I think it's really cool to see the progression for kids that when they first start out, all they want to do is read because that's what they're comfortable with. But as they progress through the program, you start to hear them just having a conversation with the audience in those little break times. And that's another way where they're going to talk about whatever is important to them at that moment. And it's where they really can bring their own personal beliefs and interests into the program.
I'm Carmen, Helena's mom. I think that Helena got into it because a friend of hers was involved and her friend wanted a partner. And so Beth emailed me and asked if Helena wanted to get in on that. And I thought it was such a cool opportunity. So I said yes.
I'm Betsy. I'm Andy's mom. And I think Katie and Kay's been part of our lives as a family for a really long time. Malcolm was a board member a long time ago. And so this idea of let's be DJs has always been sort of a thread of conversation at our house and talking about different set lists and what music you would play until finally it was like, well, let's actually do this.
To try and capture some extra parent perspectives, we hosted a parent panel and got to speak with Betsy, Malcolm, and Carmen, who are the parents of DJ Andy and DJ Helena. And since the pandemic, Andy and his family have found the brighter side of DJing from home.
How is he liking doing it virtually and from home?
Doing it from home, he actually got to see what the production side looks like and work with the software and use a microphone at home and put it all together. And that's been a learning curve, but it's also been time well spent with Malcolm, sort of a dad and son musical adventure, imagining what the set list is going to look like, what do you want to communicate. And so instead of it being someone on the Andy Zanka staff coaching him through that, it became more of a family thing. And that was really fun. And then he could listen to himself, which is cool. He really likes being live as well. So I think having both of those opportunities has been good.
And Helena got started from a pretty young age. What was that like for her to be, I mean, a second or a third grader?
Yeah, she was little. She was doing pretty well. I remember when I was listening one month when she went in, and the person had her reading the Spanish. And I was like, wow, that's so cool that my little first or second grader over there, you know, speaking Spanish into the mic, and she was doing okay. And then when one of the people who was helping her let her do the buttons was a big moment for her.
I was going to say, he just really likes having that sort of purposeful role and having a job to do and feeling like there are people listening to what he has to do. And it really brings out the confidence in him.
The radio is a great outlet for a confluence of his interest in music and performing and having a role play. So it's really been a great.
I think that one of the things that Helena gained from it that I really appreciate is that she became empowered through a connection to community. Like, just doing the announcements gave her the feeling that she was imparting information to Carbondale. And that's a pretty powerful feeling, I think. And it shows her that she can have a voice in the community.
In addition to being parents of youth DJs, Betsy and Carmen are both teachers in the Valley as well. And they're working with ASYEP in the classroom.
I talked to Beth about having some of my students read essays that they wrote about their experiences with the pandemic.
Yes, Beth has come and worked with my students probably 3 or 4 years in a row, and they write modeled after the NPR's This I Believe essays. So they're personal essays that have sort of a story and that illustrates a core value of theirs. And they're very cool essays.
Betsy, having done these projects for the last few years, what have you seen students gain from hearing their voices on the radio?
Just knowing that they're going to be recording something that other people are going to listen to gives a purpose and sort of inspiration to really express what they really value, right? So instead of, I'm just writing this essay about myself, it becomes this, you know, people are going to hear this and I really want it to reflect who I am. And it becomes, you know, just one more layer of being careful with their work and being careful with choosing what they want to say and what message they want to put out in the world, because it is going out into the world. But they hear each other on the radio, and the comments they give each other are just great, just the supportive comments about how well they did and what they really liked about each other's. But just having an authentic audience is really important for students to know that that's the purpose of writing and that's the purpose of communication.
And when I asked Malcolm what his favorite show on KD&K was, he was so excited that he couldn't wait for me to finish my question.
Who is your favorite DJ on KD&K?
My favorite show is FM with AM and Andy Zanka.
Hey!